Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is an update on the Evergrande situation. We've now got some further news with regards to the construction activities of Evergrande, which I'll update you on. And we've also found out some really concerning news about some bond and share dealings by the chief executive of Evergrande, who's a guy called Shah Hyjan. We've been talking a lot about the chairman, Wee Kar Yan, and the chief executive has really gone unnoticed. But he's done something with regards to his holdings, his personal holdings, which I think are tantamount to insider dealing. So we'll go on and look at that in some more detail. And then we'll talk about what Evergrande's plans are for the rest of 2022. They've made an announcement about how many apartments they're intending to deliver. And then I'll wrap up with a summary with regards to what's going on with the Evergrande suppliers, because there are a lot of problems going on right now in the whole sector. A lot of it is caused by Evergrande not paying their suppliers. So we'll go to talk through the implications of that and how that will impact on Evergrande's ability to be able to carry on with their construction and to deliver the number of apartments that they're hoping to. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And remember that I include chapters in all my videos, so if there's a particular section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip on to the next topic. So I'll start with the news about the chief executive of Evergrande selling some of his holdings in Evergrande's bonds and also some shares in the Evergrande electric vehicles business. Shah Hyjan is a 56-year-old businessman who has 32 years experience in property development and joined Evergrande in 2007. So he's been on board throughout the whole of the major growth phase of the business, and he would have been involved in all of the bond discussions and a lot of placing of the international bonds. Now, he has a large personal holding of these bonds, and there's no details provided, but it's likely that he would have been given some of these bonds as part of his remuneration package, because the amounts that he has are absolutely massive. And information has just been released now about the sale of some of these bonds back in the summer of 2021, which was about 3 weeks prior to the world finding out that Evergrande was in financial difficulty and that it looked like it was going to be unable to repay its debts. Between the 27th of July and the 17th of August 2021, the chief executive sold $50 million worth of bonds that were due in 2022, $50 million worth of bonds due in 2023, and $28 million worth of bonds due in 2025. Now, the prices that he sold these bonds at were below par, and they ranged between 35.9 cents on the dollar and 52.4 cents on the dollar. And those three sales generated a total of 56.5 million US dollars for the chief executive himself. So there's a number of issues that these sales throw up. Firstly, the chief executive of the company had $128 million worth of bonds, which must have been gifted to him as part of his package, but shows how much these guys were being paid personally. $128 million is a massive amount of money for anybody to be paid, and this is just a portion of the bonds that he's holding. The second issue is the timing of this sale. These bonds were sold in a 3 week period building up to the 17th of August 2021. And in September 2021, Evergrande failed to make a payment. And for the first time, the world became aware that Evergrande did not have enough money to meet all of its obligations. So there is a serious risk of insider dealing here. The chief executive would have been fully aware in August when he was making these sales that Evergrande was in massive financial difficulty. And he took advantage of the information that he had to sell out of a personal shareholding. Now, in the rest of the world, this would not be allowed. Chief executives of companies have blackout periods, and you're not allowed to deal in anything that is sensitive to market data. So this wouldn't have been allowed anywhere else in the world. In China, they've allowed him to sell those bonds, knowing full well that there was a very high likelihood that the price of those bonds was going to fall significantly in September when everybody became aware of the problems that Evergrande had. And that's exactly what happened, and the price of those bonds fell to less than 15 cents on the dollar once that news was released. And he sold his bonds at prices ranging between 35 and 52 cents on the dollar. So he made tens of millions of dollars profit from the inside information that he had. Now, the other issue here is that this information has only just been released to the market, and we're now in February 2022. So these transactions took place in August 21, and we're looking at a huge delay before this information was released. So the length of time that it's taken for this to become public information is concerning. But what's also concerning is that Evergrande have made no statement whatsoever about these dealings. This is a clear case of insider dealing, no bones about it. This guy knew exactly what he was doing when he sold out of his personal shareholdings and his personal bond holdings just before all the bad news was released. Now, in any other company, you would expect the chief executive to be immediately dismissed and statements to be made about why those deals were done and a public apology to be issued with regards to how this has been managed. But none of that has happened. Evergrande are carrying on as if this is everyday business and nothing untoward has happened. And that's quite surprising because we've got the risk management committee in place right now. So government officials are now running Evergrande. They're telling the chief executive what to do. They're calling the shots and making all the decisions. So it surprises me that they haven't hung this guy out to dry because he is very much in the firing line here. He could easily be sacked over these offences and actually he could face criminal proceedings. So it is really surprising that the Risk Management Committee have not mentioned anything to do with this. They've released the information and that's as far as it's gone so far. Now, maybe there will be a follow-up to this. Maybe we will hear that the chief executive has been dismissed and they will make a statement with regards to this trading. But so far, it's radio silence. Founder and chairman Weikar Yan has come out and made some statements this week regarding Evergrande's current sites and also their targets in terms of number of apartments they're looking to deliver. And he's made a comment with regards to the asset base of the company. So he's made a statement to the market that Evergrande is looking to now recommence all of its construction works across China. So this is 100% of all of their sites, compared with the statement that he made at the end of December that they had 93.2% of all sites operational. And he's gone on to state that the aim for 2022 is to deliver 600,000 apartments. And the final statement that he's made is that Evergrande needs to clear its debt by fully restoring construction and sales activity, not by selling assets on the cheap. And he vowed to complete half of all pre-sold homes this year. So the chairman has come out and made some really interesting statements there. One of his points is that Evergrande has to trade its way out of its current situation. So what he's referring to there is the fact that the amount of debt that Evergrande has is a lot larger than the value of the assets that Evergrande is currently sitting on. So it is impossible to just liquidate the company, cash in all of the assets and pay everybody back because they would have nowhere near enough money to be able to do that. So his belief is that Evergrande should carry on trading, build up some profit, and over time that profit will help pay back all of the lenders. Now, I think he's living in dreamland in terms of they are so far away from being at the level of profitability to pay back these debts that it's just untrue. But I guess from his point of view, it's his baby. This is something that he created and he wants the business to continue. He doesn't want it to be closed down. Now, one of the problems that he's got is that the level of assets that Evergrande owns is diminishing. Now, I've reported before on this channel that some of the land that Evergrande owns has been seized by local authorities. They've taken that land back because Evergrande was not undertaking any developments. The government is also looking at a lot of the unfinished apartments that Evergrande has and is considering whether they should be moved across to the state-owned entities. We saw the football stadium that Evergrande started construction on being seized by a local authority. So they've lost a lot of assets already. And the more assets they lose, the less viable the business becomes. He claims that over 93% of the sites are currently operational and that they will be recommencing work on all of the other sites by the end of February. Now, one of the problems with that is the fact that they owe a huge amount of money to all of their suppliers. And we reported on this recently. There are a lot of companies who are dependent on Evergrande for their business, who are reporting massive losses, who are laying people off and are complaining about lack of cash flow and are facing bankruptcy themselves. So all of those businesses are in real difficulty. So it's really difficult to see how they will commence work with Evergrande and how Evergrande will get all their sites up and running again, because they've been dealt a hammer blow. They don't have the cash to be able to pay their people, to be able to pay their suppliers, to be able to do the job that Evergrande needs them to do. So we've got a broken infrastructure sitting behind Evergrande. So it's really impossible to see how 100% of these sites can just be switched back on again overnight, because they don't have anybody to be able to come in and do the work, and they don't have any credit left with any of these suppliers. And the final point that he's made is about the number of apartments that Evergrande is intending to complete in 2022. So he's actually stipulated a figure of 600,000 apartments. That's the target that they're shooting for. Now that compares with 1.6 million apartments that have been pre-sold. So they've got 1.6 million customers waiting to move into their apartment. And the 600,000 doesn't even represent 50% of that number. Now, the chairman has actually referenced 50% as part of his statements. So there's a slight inconsistency there, because 50% would obviously represent 800,000, not 600,000. But even if it is 600,000 that he manages to deliver, we've still got 1 million apartments that are unbuilt by the end of 2022. So if we roll forward at the same rate, if we say that they deliver another 600,000 in 2023, then that would still leave 400,000 waiting at the end of 23. So you would be almost at the end of 2024 before Evergrande get to the point where they've delivered these 1.6 million apartments. Now, if you've ever bought a property off plan, then often you might have to wait 2 or 3 or possibly even 6 months for that apartment to be constructed. You're not waiting for 2 or 3 or 4 years. That is an incredible amount of time to wait for an apartment to be built. If you're a young family who needs to move into a house because you've got a baby, you don't want to wait 4 years until your child's actually going to school, and maybe you've got another child and a dog and a goldfish. It's just not feasible for people to wait that long. And one of the major problems here is that the structure in China facilitates people paying up front a large amount of money. So we've talked about it a lot on this channel, but we've heard of deposits of up to 100%. So some of these apartments have actually been paid for in full. But even the ones that haven't been paid for in full, we're looking at 10, 20, 30, 50% deposits. So that is a lot of money for most people. That's their life savings. And you can't hand over your life savings and wait 3 or 4 years for that apartment to be built, because you'll be bankrupt by the time it arrives. So this is really unacceptable. And when you look at 600,000 as a target for this year, then that may not even be achieved. Evergrande might come in a lot less than 600,000. And that means there'll be even more people disappointed by the end of this year. So I think the target that's been stipulated doesn't look like it's going to achieve the goal that the government wants. And it's very likely that these building sites and these semi-finished apartments will be taken off Evergrande, because nobody can wait another 2 or 3 years for them to get round to finishing 1.6 million apartments. So I wanted to just pick up on the supplier point again and to remind everybody of some of the things that are going on with Evergrande right now. So one of the first things I wanted to remind you about was the fact that they received a demolition order for their 39 apartment buildings on Ocean Flower Island. Now, there's been no update with regards to that demolition. At the time of the order, Evergrande came out and said that they would comply with the authorities and they were working with them to try and achieve a mutually beneficial outcome. Now, the reason that they got the demolition order was because they are accused of having fraudulent building regulations. They didn't do things by the book, and it's claimed that the build is illegal. So this isn't something to do with a technicality. This is a fundamental issue that the local authority is saying that Evergrande undertook illegal practices and therefore all of those apartments need to be demolished. Now, this is a $1.3 billion build. So this is massive for Evergrande. And none of these apartments are completed. So they may well have pre-sold some of them. So these could be some of the apartments in the 1.6 million that everybody is waiting for. But it's a major problem for Evergrande. They need to either agree some sort of resolution whereby they can carry on with the build and not demolish all of these apartments, or they need to acknowledge that they have done something illegal and that it all needs to be razed to the ground. But either way, they need to advise the market what's going on. There's no point saying we're going to recommence 100% of our sites, apart from the one that's about to be demolished on Ocean Flower Island, which is our prime site. It's our flagship operation. There's been no mention of it since all of the news that came out about the demolition. So that's a major problem that Evergrande has right now, and we don't know at all what's going on with it. One of the other big issues is the relationship with the suppliers. So the chairman has come out and said that he's going to restart everything, but to do that, he needs all his suppliers to restart all of their relations with Evergrande and all of the people who work for those suppliers to come back on site and start doing the building again. And as I reported previously, at the end of December, Evergrande had lawsuits of $13 billion against them from their suppliers. And I've reported since that a lot of the suppliers have come out and issued profits warnings and released accounts that include massive losses, and many of them were taking more legal action against Evergrande. So it's highly likely that the $13 billion of lawsuits at the end of December is now closer to $20 billion of lawsuits. And these are the people that Evergrande are expecting to come back on site and carry on with the builds. But that won't happen in a normal scenario. Unless they are instructed by the authorities in China to come back, they're not going to do that because they're dealing with a client who hasn't paid them and who they're now taking to court. So in normal circumstances, once your relationship gets to that level, it's past the point of no return. You're not going to start working for somebody who you're actually suing currently in the courts. Now, in addition to all of those issues, one other matter that we reported on recently is commercial paper. So commercial paper is used commonly across the whole of China, and it's basically an IOU. Rather than paying your supplier in cash, you issue them with a piece of paper that says, I will pay you in 6 or 12 months' time. And there is a mountain of commercial paper out there that's gone unpaid. Now, in December 2020, Evergrande had $32 billion of commercial paper in issuance. Now, 2021 was a bad year for Evergrande, so it's unlikely to have paid down that commercial paper. It's very likely that they increased the amount of commercial paper that they were issuing. So the $32 billion in December 2020 is likely to be closer to $100 billion now. So Evergrande has a massive amount of debts out there to all of the suppliers that they're expecting to now come and finish all of these half-built apartments. Very unlikely to happen unless the risk management committee gets involved and starts ordering all of these companies to come back on site. So what's the summary in conclusion today? Well, there's two main areas to focus in on here. The first one is the insider trading by the chief executive. In any other country, in any other company in the world, this guy would have been fired upon the news of his trading coming out. He knew full well what was going on at Evergrande. He's the chief executive. He's the main guy. So he would have been fully aware that the company was on the verge of bankruptcy in the summer of 2021. He went ahead and sold $128 million worth of bonds at a preferential price. After he sold them, the price of those bonds fell by around 60 or 70%. So he personally made tens of millions of dollars profit from the knowledge that he had about the poor performance. That is the definition of insider trading. You can't do that. It's illegal. It's actually something that's a criminal offence. If he was in any other country around the world, he would be going on trial and possibly going to prison for this. There's been no mention from the company about this dealing, and no repercussions have occurred. So it will be interesting to see whether anything does come out of the woodwork, whether we see something over the next few weeks. But it's incredible that they've made this announcement, told the world what happened, and now they're moving on as if it's an everyday matter. The second issue here is the news that Evergrande is now restarting all of its building sites and carrying on as normal. Now, this is just ludicrous. There's no way that Evergrande will carry on building all of these sites out because they don't have the credit, they don't have the people, and they don't have any cash left. And they've also got a default situation on all of their bonds, and they've asked for 6 months to have a think about what's going on with regards to the restructuring. Now, it's clear to me that what's going on is that this is a PR exercise. The chairman has come out and told everybody it's back to business, everything's fine, we're carrying on as we were. That is a delaying tactic, and it's clear that tied in with the message to the bondholders that they have to wait 6 months, that Evergrande is lining up all of its internal deals. So I think we will see a lot of the assets that have been pre-sold moving to the state-owned entities and being built out by the government. And by the time we get to the end of the 6 months, I think there'll be very little left in the business for the bondholders and the lenders. And at that point, Evergrande will then be shut down. But let's wait and see what happens. It's never a boring week when Evergrande are involved. So if there's any more news or developments, I will keep you posted. So if you've enjoyed what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.